Baylor's the NCAA women's basketball champ. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Republican Congressman Devin Nunes plans to send 8 criminal referrals to the Attorney General this coming week that focuses on the origins of the Trump-Russia investigation, USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Nunes tells Fox News 5 will name specific people and crimes, 3 deal with conspiracy, misleading Congress, obstruction, and classified leaks.
This is kind of a strange situation where you have McCarthyism, like new McCarthyism, that merged with Watergate wannabes. You had unbelievable leaks that occurred across all levels of our government. You had all sorts of reporters. 90% of the press essentially was in on this. It started by dirtying up a presidential candidate, and then it went on to dirtying up a president.
Nunes is the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee.
President Trump addressed the Jewish Republican Coalition's annual leadership meeting in Las Vegas on Saturday. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
The president spent most of the speech touting his administration's accomplishments and stressing what a strong bond Israel has with the United States. The president also accused Democrats of being anti-Jewish and anti-Israel.
The Democrats' radical agenda would destroy our economy and very well could leave Israel out there all by yourselves.
The president also reminded the crowd that it's his administration that has recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
We're looking at a local weather forecast at Flemington and the surrounding area. It's 59 degrees outside right now. Looks like they're have a little prediction of rain. Slight chance of showers. From here, it doesn't look like much, but who knows in the next hour or so. So early this afternoon, it's only 20% chance, though. And possibly a chance of showers on Tuesday and into Tuesday night. Highs will be near 70 on Tuesday and lows Tuesday night in the mid-40s. Wednesday, sunny. High in the upper 50s, down into the 30s at night. Thursday looks like partly sunny again, high in near 57. Showers likely on Friday, possible thunderstorm later on in the afternoon. Highs will be in the 60s. Get down into the 50s at night. Chance of precip 60% Friday night. Clearing up again on Saturday, partly sunny, high in the mid-60s, and then back again, showers. Looks like a series of rain coming through the area. We'll see how the wind blows. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, depending on when you listen to this, or evening. I'm your host, Chef Bill Kinslow, Chef Bill's Table here at the Chamber Radio here in downtown Flemington, getting together to look on the horizon for food celebrations, holidays, techniques, tips, anything else that might cross our path during the week. So Easter coming up. We talked about eggs last week. If you're going to have a brunch, not just on Easter, but any time, ways to cook eggs for a crowd, different techniques. And now, of course, with any food occasion, I like the roast. The roasts are what we do in restaurants. I mean, since I was a kid, always had roast prime rib, and Sunday we had roast pork. We had top round of beef. Always had turkey on buffets. Just seems my whole career I've been doing roasts. I was a roast cook at the Lake Placid Club years ago. Great food for a crowd, the roast. It's a centerpiece. Makes the kitchen, the whole house smell good. And not really as much work. There's a lot of oven time. Really the work comes in making a sauce and carving. Of course you have a good sharp knife. Remember to carve against the grain. No problem. In fact, now with these spiral sliced hams, if you're looking for a ham, they work out pretty well. They come with their own little packet of glaze. To me, that's too sweet. I'd rather make my own. But the idea of the ham, of course, it's already cooked. You're just warming it up. But, you know, basically foolproof. They seem to be fairly lean also. Sometimes you get those big hams that you get for free. Well, not for free, but almost for free. A lot of water added. Very salty. And, I mean, it's okay, but, you know, you can do better. And just like with corned beef at St. Paddy's Day, the amount of what we call pump or brine that goes in there, added liquid, usually the label will tell you how much. And price does follow quality. If it's a good dry cured ham instead of one that's pumped up, injected, you know, the dry is going to be a little bit more expensive. You're not paying for all that water. And what ends up happening, of course, hams, if they're overcooked too long, I mean, they're already cooked, you're just reheating them. But if you leave them too long and evaporate too much liquid, then you end up with something very salty. Our old American Smithfield hams, if you will, the nice ones from down south, now those take a little bit of preparation because those are dry cured. Aged, they've got a lot of times, I cooked one time, had a black pepper rub on it. Very, very nice. But, boy, I'll tell you, you've got to soak it for a while, and you're going to simmer it for a while, get all the, you're trying to rehydrate it there and then get rid of some of that salt. And then, in the end, you skin off the excess fat and make a little glaze, finish it in the oven, but, you know, it's a makes you appreciate the hams that are already done. But the old country hams, and that's the difference. There's a country ham and there's city hams. City hams are the ones we're most familiar with, the ones that are wet cured. You know, injecting meats with liquids does help with some of the tenderness, keeps the moisture in there. But you really have to follow or watch how much is going in there.
I guess you kind of scared yourself.
But for me, the roast, again, you know, for the cook, now, you're going to have a little bit of commitment. You know, do you leave the house with the oven on? You know, I know people use slow cookers now, braising things. There's no flame, so you don't have to really worry too much. You know, it's, yes, it's electric, but if you have it on some kind of power strip where, if, you know, something does go wrong with the equipment, at least the power will cut off. You won't have a fire. So it's a, you know, but with a, especially with a gas oven on, we like to, you know, be in attendance. Don't set it. You know, they had the, we use a slow cookers, but again, they're electric, and we can do an overnight cook and hold. They're all on timers and thermostats where it senses the doneness of the meat and then holds at whatever temperature. That, of course, keeps it safe. Those are nice commercial pieces of equipment, but you know, home cooks normally don't have that. Now, with roasting, we've sped things up. There's convection ovens, which with the forced air will reduce your cooking time by about a third, and you can normally run them about 25 degrees or so cooler than your recipe would call for. So if something's going to take 3 hours at 350 degrees, you could probably go to 325 degrees and it might only take 2 hours or so. And that's kind of a general rule of thumb. Again, it's always best to check with an instant read thermometer, but convection ovens can save you a little bit of time and provide a little more even browning because the air is moving around in the oven. There's also, I know commercially, I'm not sure if they're available for home. They probably are. They have part microwave power. And, of course, you don't use 100% microwave power, but standard roasting with about 10% microwave power gets that really speeds up the process. Now, if you're looking for a rare beef or lamb roast, then I wouldn't use anything with microwave power. That, you know, cooking more from the inside out, the water molecules. But for many other things, they work. But anyway, the roast. So Easter, say we're going to do a ham. Again, city ham, country ham. Most people get what's called city ham. And do you get bone in or boneless? So you can take the shank half, the butt half. Shank half usually runs a little bit cheaper. Of course, if you like bean or split pea soup, shank is beautiful for that. After the ham, after you've served dinner, save the shank, and you can boil it up and shred the meat into a, like I say, in a split pea soup or a bean dish, red beans, rice, or white beans. That smoked pork flavor is very good in there. If you're not prone to do that, then sometimes the boneless hams might work. The butt part, a little more leaner meat, a little more difficult to carve, but because you have the have what's called the H bone in there, you may have to work with your knife a little bit to get that out so you can carve it easily. But that gives you a little bit more of the leaner meat for a smoked ham. And then, of course, the other option is the ham steak. So the way the retailers do it, if you get your shank part, your butt half, and then the center cut, they'll take and cut the steaks. And truthfully, if you only have a couple of people, not a bad idea. You get a nice ham steak, got the little tiny round bone in there, but you'll get the best part of the leg, the top round, the bottom round, and the eye of the round right across there. And it's pretty quick to cook, and cut it into sections and enjoy. So we've got to look at not only cooking ham, but also lamb, the other traditional Easter roast. And what we've done in recent years at the restaurant is offered turkey, even though people think of that as Thanksgiving, a nice French-cut turkey breast with a little bit lighter sauce and not the traditional Thanksgiving accompaniments. It makes a nice late meal. It's pretty popular, Chef Bill's Table.
The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand. Are you reeling in the ye?
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's Table here. So ham, smoked ham. And, oh, by the way, if you don't want the saltiness or the nitrites that turn the ham nice and rosy pink, you want a fresh pork, the fresh ham, pork leg, always a great roast and pretty economical, too. You treat that as a fresh pork roast, of course. You want to cook it. I like pork a little bit less than well done. You could call it a medium well, maybe, just a slight pink. Totally safe. You don't have to worry about the trichinosis, things like that. And actually, the flavor is pretty good. Doesn't get all dried out, especially a lean roast. The leg is pretty lean. You know, you're cooking ribs or pork shoulder, things like that, barbecue. You're going to cook them very, very well done to kind of tenderize them. But the fresh ham... and that's where, you know, when you're, say, you're ordering food from the grocery store, it's just, I know the mistake's been made. So you say you order a fresh ham, meaning like a non-frozen smoked ham, well, you're not going to get a smoked ham. You're going to get the fresh pork leg. That happened once to somebody I know, and it still worked out, but it was a whole fresh pork leg, so a pretty sizable roast. Usually you'll find, again, pieces of it a smaller 5 or 6 pounds, 8 pounds, whatever you can use. But they're, you know, treated just like a roast rack of pork. We like to, you know, the salt, pepper, garlic if you like, but rosemary works well, sage, even poultry seasoning has all those rosemary and thyme, things like spices like that. Or you can take it another direction, like a porchetta with maybe some orange and basil. Definitely, or even a Southwestern. You could use a little cumin and oregano and treat it almost like you could treat it with a barbecue rub. Anything you like, right? But the smoked ham, probably the hardest thing to do is make a sauce for it, because you're not really, it's different when you have, roast beef, obviously, if you have some beef broth or stock and you've got some pan drippings and you can make a sauce. If you're making turkey or chicken, you can normally, if you want to make a stock with the neck and the giblet, wing tips, things like that, backbone, or you could use canned broth or bouillon, but they kind of go together. With ham, there's no really not buying ham stock. Yeah, you do get some moisture, some drippings in the pan. When I'm cooking the ham, I like to add some ginger ale and a little bit of half ginger ale, half water, so it's not too sweet. The water, of course, will evaporate. Keeps the ham, this is for a smoked ham, by the way, keeps the ham moist, and you do end up with, some of the juices come out of the ham. You've got kind of a flavored liquid there to at least enhance your sauce with. And say you make a sauce that, like a Madeira sauce, using a brown sauce in Madeira, but then that little bit of, the nice ginger, little bit of that sugar there, and the smoky ham flavor could also go into that sauce. Some people like to use an ale or a beer to steam the ham in, but again, the ginger for me kind of works, puts that compatible flavor with the saltiness and the smoke flavoring in the ham. So ginger ale, and you don't want diet. You do want sugar diet. Some recipes call for braised in Coca-Cola. Again, if you're doing that, you're getting all those herbs and flavors of the cola beverage. But don't use the diet. You need the sugar in there. And somebody that did that one time. I'll use the diet, but you don't get that reduction properly. You don't get, it gets bitter. It's the artificial sweeteners don't work for that. So. Do yourself a favor if you're cooking with soft drinks like that. Don't use the diet stuff. So the ham, so normally 325 to 350 is a good oven temperature. Don't need to have it blazing hot. And you do want to get a little bit of browning on it on the outside. Now, the traditional way, of course, if there was still some fat, or actually when you get a fresh pork leg, you may still even, depending on where you get it from, you might still have the skin on there, which is really nice. That you take your knife and make the diamond pattern on there. You want that skin, you want little crispy pieces of it at the end. And if you do have a ham from a butcher or a producer, you're buying right from the farm, and you have that at least the fat on there, you want to score that with the knife. And the traditional, I know we used to do for buffets, you'd take a clove and stick it in the middle of each little square there. And the cloves are a nice perfume, very complimentary to the ham also. And if you want to do that for a showpiece, by all means, it does add some nice flavor, the clove. It makes the thing look pretty. So nothing, it's really nice, it's impressive to bring a nice baked ham like that to the table. I know on buffets we would take the pineapple rings and put them on there. And, of course, I remember the first place it was We used to serve a fruit sauce. It kind of reminded you of something you might get in a, you know, like a Hawaiian restaurant from the 60s. It was basically, I think, I had just started there. I think it was a pot washer, and I think they just took for a fruit cocktail and some maraschino cherries. Not, you know, they take the stems off of them, and I don't know. I think they just thickened it up with some cornstarch and water. It just made kind of a more of a dessert sauce. And I guess, you know, for a salty meat, that would complement it, I guess, to sweet and salty. But it was, I might even put a little grenadine in there to make it that nice rosy color. But that was the 60s. That's what, you know, sometimes people thought that was great cooking. But, I was always puzzled by that one. That's when I started figuring out better ways. Although pineapple sauce is not a bad thing, but when you're making a sauce for a smoked ham, I would still start with either a brown stock or a brown sauce or our espanol or a velouté, which would be, could be a pork stock or a chicken broth, slightly thickened with a roux, which is flour and butter. If you have that basic sauce on hand, then when you deglaze your pan with whether it's wine or if you have some liquid already in there, water, you get your flavor bits dissolved there. You make a little kind of concentrate called a fond, and you can add that to your basic sauce, and it'll flavor it. So when you're thickening these, I know we've done the espanol before, the brown sauce, and even using a canned beef stock if you have to, which, you know, most people will, you can still enhance that with some more vegetables, mirepoix, some diced onion, carrot, and celery, a little bit of tomato paste, you know, a little bit of red wine, and thickening it for 3 cups of broth would take about a quarter cup of flour and a quarter cup of butter or oil. I usually, nowadays for roux, I'll use canola oil, something neutral. When you're using butter, most recipes will call for melting butter, and what happens is butter is about 20% water and milk solids. And unless you're using clarified butter, you don't have pure fat there. Sometimes that flour, you can get a little bit of lumping in there. If you heat the butter, try to dissolve the flour. I find out with oil, it's a much smoother roux. You can dissolve the flour much better and don't get the you don't get the lumps in there. But that's your ratio. Now, if you can't or don't want flour, use cornstarch for every tablespoon and a half or so. Let's say 2 tablespoons of flour. 1 tablespoon of cornstarch will give you about the same thickening property. And what you'll do then is you dissolve the cornstarch in either cool water or cold stock broth to make what's called slurry. You want it to be about the consistency of heavy cream. And make sure there's no lumps in there. Once that is dissolved in there, with your liquid is come to a boil, simply drizzle in the cornstarch while whisking, and it will thicken instantly. Now, the difference between the flour and the cornstarch, a lot of it is appearance. The cornstarch would give you a sauce that's not really clear, but not as cloudy as the flour, not coating like a gravy would. That's why cornstarch is used a lot of times in fruit sauces, dessert sauces, things where you want to be able to a little clarity there. But also a nice fine Madeira sauce on a filet. I've used cornstarch or arrowroot is another one. You could treat the same way. Again, if you want to be gluten-free or if you need that, if you want that appearance, a little bit more refined taste. With the roux, you need to cook out the flour a little bit. And with the cornstarch and the arrowroot, of course, you don't need to do that. So, but either way, that's your ratios for thickening. And then in the case of ham, you've got some drippings there because you've, you know, added a little bit of liquid in there. You can flavor that velouté or Espanol with the drippings, or just with Madeira. A Madeira sauce would be nice, or if you wanted to add another type of wine to it. But with that base, you can work many variations. Also fruit sauces that go, I think, of dried fruit sometime with ham. A raisin sauce with a little bit of sherry would work. I've done, if you want a pineapple sauce, that's fine, but kind of make it more like that would work more like a sweet and sour. Actually, maybe add some peppers and onions to it if you want. But that would, bring it in a whole different direction, but would also complement the ham nicely. But raisin cider, apple cider sauce would be good if you have cooked your ham, even with the ginger. I mean, taking your velouté and a little bit of reduced apple cider, or put a shot of applejack in there, and that would complement the ham also. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table, and we've got to make some lamb.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen is out of the job as President Trump confirmed with a tweet yesterday that she was resigning her position. Numerous reports say Nielsen's been pressured by President Trump to submit her resignation. Chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers Kevin Hassett says he never saw any indication that Trump and Nielsen didn't get along, and the sense was she had done a fine job.
And we're sorry to see her go and grateful for her service, but I've been in the room with her and a whole bunch of people in the White House, including the president, and never seen anything other than, collegiality.
Hassett was speaking on the Fox Business Network. The United States is designating Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps as a foreign terrorist organization. It's Virginia and Texas Tech tonight in the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, tip-off at 9:20 Eastern. And this is USA Radio News.
The tradition. The suspense. The race. Here's your chance to experience the Kentucky Derby firsthand. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to Churchill Downs to witness the Kentucky Derby. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000 toward a new home or pay off their mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary. 21 years or older. Ends on April 7, 2019. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Here at Chef Bill's table. So, yes, with the ham, mentioning, of course, these sauces that work. Again, you could have your brown sauce as a base or your velouté as a base. And if you're using dried fruit, such as raisins, I would plump them first in a little bit of warm broth. Get them rehydrated there because they are dried. If I'm doing a sherry raisin sauce, I would saute a little bit of shallot and add some sherry and a little bit of sherry vinegar. And why would I use vinegar? Well, you've got the sweetness from the raisins, and you want to offset that with a little bit of acidity. So even if you don't have sherry, the vinegar also very nice flavor, nice substitute, but the sherry, vinegar, and the raisins together as your garnish for your sauce would work very well with the ham. Now, lamb, which is my favorite, I love lamb. The leg of lamb would be another traditional Easter dinner. Although, it's a commitment to a certain size roast. You can get the domestic lamb, a commercially produced lamb, fairly good sized. The boneless legs would probably be 6 to 8 pounds. Nice mild flavor in the, a lot of times you'll see it called, marketed as Colorado lamb. You can also, lamb is one of those products that you can probably, if you're looking for a local producer that would be available, probably be, you know, frozen. But if you want to stay local, lamb would be one that I would think would be a little bit more available than, you know, something like beef cattle. Most farms can raise lambs pretty easily. The other choices, of course, Australian, New Zealand, you'll see a lot. New Zealand legs are lean. They're usually 3 to 5 pounds, not much fat on them at all. Grass-fed, there's no grain finish, so they do have quite a different flavor. We use the New Zealand chops for on our nibbles and noshes, the lamb pops, we call them. So you'll see them a lot of times at cocktail functions. They're really just very small eye on the rib chops, and it's just like a bite or two. But so it makes a nice snack. You could also use lamb rib chops or a rack of lamb as your dinner, especially, again, if you're not a large household. Of course, fairly expensive, but not much cooking time. And a rack of lamb, of course, one of your most elegant dishes when you even go out to restaurants. Of course, a rack of lamb is one of the higher-priced items. It's a small part of the lamb. The New Zealand ones aren't terrible in price. We only import pretty much the racks and the boneless legs. I think they're able to sell off a lot of the other stuff in other markets. But the leg gives you a nice roast, and if there is some left over, of course, sliced lamb treated, whether it's in a sandwich. I like it really sliced over a salad instead of roast beef or grilled chicken or something like that. The sliced lamb roast is always good the next day. So if you're looking for the leg, the bone rolled and tied, or you can get bone-in leg, you want to make sure that the H-bone is out. So that would normally be removed, and then that end of the meat there would be, they will tie that back into the roast. But then you've got the shank bone, and, you know, got, if you're doing a buffet, I mean, it's a nice presentation. And, of course, cooked on the bone, you're always going to get a little bit more flavor. But for convenience, most people take boneless. Now, the nice thing about boneless, though, is if you tend to cook outside, the grilling the boneless leg is a little faster way to do it. We like that cut because of the unevenness with it. Now, some recipes will say, well, you know, pound it out and make it all even. But I think the plus side of that unevenness is that you'll get different degrees of doneness. So you have people that like it a little more done. You have people that like it rare. Butterfly leg of lamb, great meal anytime outside on the grill. If you find one of my favorites, it used to be kind of a three-quarter, I call it a three-quarter leg. There wouldn't be any shank bone on it. Shanks are best when they're braised. So if you get the whole leg with the shank on, you're normally going to take that and braise it, make soup or something, you know, a barbecue, something out of it. It will need some further cooking. The three-quarter leg Now, we used to get his lamb, what they used to call lamb sirloins. They were steaks really cut from the upper part of the leg, right, actually next to the hip. And normally the butcher would get two or three steaks. They would have that little round bone in the middle. Very nice cut for grilling. And then what was left would be the leg that we would roast. And I used to prepare that at home. I would take all the fat off. But a lot of times people don't want that, what they call the lamby aroma, is to do with the fat. If you skin the fat off, you're not going to get that much. It's really like a really tender beef roast when you're done. Especially if you're using the lamb loin, that normally the chops, you know, there's a lot of fat on the lamb chops. They flare up and they're good. But if you take the whole loin and bone it out and take the fat off and make medallions, you're hard-pressed to tell that from a nice tender steak. So the three-quarter leg, or even your larger leg, if you take the fat off, the three-quarter leg, of course, would be on the bone. Your bone rolled and tied usually have a netting on them, so the fat a little bit harder to take off unless you're going to tie the roast back up again. But then I would rub it with some soft butter, season it. You could do the mustard and breadcrumb crust like you would on a rack of lamb. But really, again, 350 oven. If you're doing the leg, that's a good temperature to use. And usually, it's 10 to 12 minutes a pound. I mean, it's, a 5-pounder or a 6-pounder is not going to take much longer. It might take a little over an hour. I would allow at least an hour and a half. Usually what I do with roasts is take them out, use the thermometer, take them out a little bit early, let them rest, and then right before service, I turn the oven up a little hotter and blast it in the oven just to brown up the outside a little bit better and bring it back to serving temperature. You may decide to do lamb rack, which would only take about 35 minutes or so to cook. Or a Parmesan fried lamb chop. This is kind of a nice dish for spring because it really would go complement well with some nice new potatoes, some asparagus or some peas. Asparagus and peas, very good vegetables for your Easter feast, whether you're doing a turkey breast or a chicken or ham or lamb, anything to do with those vegetables would complement your meal. Looks pretty easy to cook. But lamb chops, Parmesan fried, here we use the rack of lamb that's been what we call Frenched. That means all of the fat between the bones has been taken out, and the meat is really right down to the eye. We call just the main part of the meat. So you have your lamb chops. You can just cut between the bones. When they're Frenched, of course, the chine bone is taken off, the part of the backbone, and it allows you to cut right between the bones to get individual chops. You could have the butcher do this, or if you're looking in the store, a Frenched rack of lamb would be what you would look for. So you've got your chops, and you can flatten them out a little bit with the with a cleaver or a meat mallet. Not too much. I'm not looking to make a scallopini. I just want to get them kind of even with the bone. We'll get their lamb chops. It could be a little bit more surface area. But these would be, we'll use some fresh grated Parmesan cheese. So let's say for 16 chops, you need about 3/4 of a cup of cheese, 2 or 3 eggs beaten, and some fine, we use a plain breadcrumb for this, and a fine breadcrumb or a fine panko would be nice. And what we do is the breading procedure, instead of dredging them in the flour first, we dredge them in the cheese. So that cheese is right next to the meat. Press the cheese in there. Dip it briefly in the egg, let the excess run off, and then into the fine breadcrumbs. Now, you're holding chop by the bone there. You don't want to bread the bone. You just need to bread the meat. And so, and these are good when they sit for a little bit, let that breading kind of adhere to the lamb a little bit better. But you'll find now this kind of like when you bread anything, it kind of, stretches it out a little bit. Maybe instead of four chops, you can serve three. And then we'll shallow fry them in vegetable oil, seasoned with a little salt and pepper afterwards, after they come out. Or you can oven fry them. I've done this. If you've got a large amount on your sheet pan, make sure that you've got a little bit of melted butter on the pan and put the chops on there, and then you want to drizzle with a little bit more melted. And I would, clarified butter, of course, is best. You could use oil if you need to, but you've got the chops. If I was oven frying them, of course, you go in the 500-degree oven and flip them after about 7 or 8 minutes. So they're browned, but frying in the skillet, you just need that half inch of oil in there, and put only a few at a time. You want to turn them. Don't take long to cook. They're especially because you want them nice, medium rare, or at least pink. You don't want them more than medium. But these chops, again, when they come out, just like doing any cutlet, season them with some salt and pepper. You could sprinkle a little bit more cheese on if you want, but they would be a nice light version. And you think, oh, lamb and Parmesan, it works pretty well together. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table, Chef Bill's table. If I saw you in heaven.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back at Chef Bill's table here. I'm thinking about these lamb chops, thinking about the vegetables. Peas, of course, unless you live near where they're being grown, so they're more sensitive than corn as far as losing their sweetness once they're harvested. So most recipes will say frozen peas, which are fine. But we can always enhance them. What we like to do is take some sugar snap peas and some snow peas and mix those with the, cook those along with the regular, we call English peas. So you have the three. I know they're all like different shapes and whatever, but the flavor is all good. Of course, sugar snap peas, there used to be fancy places that would take those and actually shell those and get a very, very small pea. But look for the petite peas instead of the grandes there. The small ones are nice. Or a combination of peas and asparagus. But with this lamb, if you want to introduce the ham component to the meal, just use some prosciutto, which is the cured, not smoked ham. Diced prosciutto in there with the peas would be good. Saute them. Like to do, you could use a little bit of butter and actually water. The prosciutto will put a little saltiness to them to complement the sweetness of the peas. And then a risotto might not be a bad side dish either. A nice basic, you could do the basic Milanese with the saffron and a little bit of Parmesan to finish. The saffron is would be that'd be a nice sign of spring, right from the crocus. That pleasant bitterness and the nice pale yellow color. Of course, the ingredient with paella. But a saffron risotto and the peas and prosciutto would be two nice side dishes if you were doing, whether you're doing roast lamb or these Parmesan fried chops. You have a nice meal. Now, the other dish, of course, I was thinking of spring, obviously. Remember on menus used to say spring chicken, roast spring chicken. And I guess when farming was more seasonal, before the factory farms now, as we call them, started producing all the time, typically chicken was, eggs would hatch, and if chicken is a few weeks old, it would imply that a young chicken. I remember when I started in the business, Cornish hens were a big thing, especially for banquets, because they were just over a pound, maybe 18 ounces, and one was a whole portion, very easy to cook and serve, roasted up very quickly. They were pretty much all white meat. They were crossbreed with an actual hen and a Plymouth Rock chicken. I guess there's this, the backstory on how, out of necessity, the breed came about, but they grow quickly. Now it's difficult to find them unless they're in a frozen state. They kind of fell out of favor. But I was seeing the other day, Blue Smoke in Manhattan, the barbecue place. He does a whole Cornish hen that's smoked and then deep fried, and that's his fried chicken. There's a place down south that has whole barbecued Cornish hens. So I got some, I have some halves and some brine I'm going to play around with. But spring chicken would be a young chicken. And poussin, you can find sometimes the local producers. Again, if you're looking local, Griggstown, a lot of the farms will have the little 1 pound, I think a little bit more than a pound, but usually they're a pound and a quarter, little chickens you could roast whole or take the backbone out and spatchcock, spread them out there, cook very, very quickly, broiled chicken. But this what we do at the restaurant is with the turkey breast, another nice cut you can get is a French turkey breast. So they're boneless except for the one wing joint, and they have the skin on. and really makes a nice roast. A couple of commercial producers are using them in food service, good for buffets. But I found that you could bone out your own turkey breast if you like. I mean, cooked on the bone, of course, is nice, but then, you know, it's a big roast. You might not want that much if you have, a small group. The French cut turkey breast, or even if you don't have the wing on there, that's fine. A boneless half turkey breast with the skin on. We're going to do it with some lemon and thyme. So I'll do some lemon zest and a few lemon slices on there, olive oil, some branches of fresh thyme, and then those pan drippings will make a nice lighter sauce. We take it in a little different direction than the turkey gravy and all those different sides, but very complimentary to the lighter vegetables that you would serve in the spring. The sauce could be a lemon thyme gravy. It could be more of a cream sauce. Pretty versatile. So if you happen not to care for lamb or ham and you want to stick with poultry, of course, if you can find some little chickens or Cornish hens, it'd be great. Or half a turkey breast. But at any rate, Easter, do a roast. Give you a little bit of time in the kitchen to prepare your other side dishes and make the house smell good. Chef Bill's Table. We're signing off now. We'll be back next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The White House continuing what it calls its maximum pressure campaign on Iran, now labeling Iran's Revolutionary Guard a foreign terrorist organization. White House spokesman Hogan Gidley.
It's the first time the United States has recognized another government as a foreign terrorist organization. That means a lot because Iran's economy is already crippling. This goes to help put more pressure on that country to change its behavior.
Speaking earlier at the State Department, Secretary Mike Pompeo said that it's just and long overdue that this move be taken, as he again accused Iran of ongoing outlaw behavior and of promoting instability in the volatile Middle East. Kirstjen Nielsen stepping down as Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. President Trump tweeting the announcement yesterday. Reports are Nielsen did not step down willingly. This is USA Radio News.
The tradition. The suspense. The race. Here's your chance to experience the Kentucky Derby firsthand. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to Churchill Downs to witness the Kentucky Derby. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000 toward a new home or pay off their mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary. 21 years or older. Ends in April 7, 2019. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The best sleep of my life has been since I got a MyPillow and since I got my Giza Dream sheets. I have to tell you, I've slept in some great hotels in my time, but nothing like these Giza Dreams sheets. Now go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams sheets special, you'll find out all about them, and use my promo code USA to get 30% off and free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams sheets special, use my promo code USA.
A New York couple reportedly missing after vacationing in the Dominican Republic, as family members say Orlando Moore and his girlfriend, Portia Robinelli, were supposed to have returned on March 27th, but there's been no sign of the Mount Vernon, New York couple. Police say they checked out of their hotel but never made their flight back to the U.S. For the eighth consecutive week, the price of gasoline in the U.S. is up.
That price is now up 6 cents over figures from last week. The national average now at $2.75 a gallon. Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us some states are really feeling the pinch at the pump.
California takes the crown with the nation's priciest average at $3.79 per gallon, followed by Hawaii at $3.47. There are now 6 states with an average price back over the $3 per gallon mark.
I'm John Clemens.
The Men's March Madness Championships tonight, Virginia versus Texas Tech. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.